Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO, and today I sit down with Andre, Angel, and a special guest to have a conversation around having a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy, what that means, and how important this is to being an effective missionary disciple. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Okay, welcome back to the Missionary Disciple Podcast.
Great to be back.
Yeah, with us today, fresh off of campus, we have Trevor Anzai, the latest member of the communications department. And today we're going to be talking about this idea we have within CCO of Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. So really this genesis, this idea really helps us to focus on a multi-generational approach to missionary disciples, that Paul is the person who's calling someone forward, calling someone up and building into them and raising them as a missionary disciple. Barnabas is your peer, so someone who's journeying with you, they're at the same level. And then Timothy is the person your person is working on. Mm-hmm. So if you're the missionary disciple, you the listener, and you're busy accompanying, let's say, Bob, Timothy would be the person that Bob is going out and accompanying and bringing to Christ. And this whole approach really helps you and us stay focused on not just one person at a time, but spiritual multiplication. So, Andre.
I think, just to simplify it, we just look at Timothy as the guy we're trying to evangelize. So he could be multi-generational. Paul is the guy that evangelized us. Okay. And Barnabas is the one we walk alongside. So it's a co-labor. Over the last 30 years, we've kind of lived out of this this paradigm unwittingly, in a way. We just kind of fell into it, and then we heard more about it from different people describing Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. And we saw, wow, that's the way it was kind of lived out in the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts. But it also... What we saw was that it helped us live out of the missionary life more effectively, with a balance, with the proper focus. And so we have Trevor here today, who has been working at Concordia University for the last couple of years, and you're working out of this paradigm all the time, the Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas. Why don't you maybe take a few moments to kind of describe to us each member of that team? Like, yeah, who is Paul, and, you know, who's Barnabas, and who's Timothy? You know, when we think about it in context of the campus.
First of all, it's a great pleasure to be on this podcast. So thanks for having me today. Great joy to share, you know, my experience on campus and what I've kind of lived through with the Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy kind of paradigm. Yeah, Paul is someone who really invests in my life, that I have like a spiritual father figure in my life to mentor me, to encourage me. Kind of actually, as I was growing in my faith, though, it was really someone who brought me to Christ. Mm-hmm. And someone that I really look to, and just as that role model.
How important would you say it is for your Christian life to actually be aware who your Paul is?
It's very important, for sure. Right? Like, for me to be aware of who my Paul is, I have that trust, that accountability mm-hmm. in place. I know that they're really looking after me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're really like praying for me, and there's mm-hmm. that relationship of trust.
Yeah, yeah. And I would even expand that and say, the more you know your Paul, meaning the person that brought you to that place of encounter or that place of greater maturity, whatever it might be, the more we're aware of who those Pauls are and appreciate those Pauls, I think the more we understand the encounter itself. Because my Paul was actually a parish, meaning it's me walking into St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Fort McMurray, and that's where I had my conversion, my encounter that changed the rest of my life. And it was a parish priest, and I can't remember what he said or whatever. But when I think of my Paul, it was really that community. You know, I mean, it was there that my conversion happened. And so I had the privilege of actually meeting a couple of weeks ago in Victoria, a couple that, as I was sharing my testimony, they came to me after and said, you know what, we're from Fort McMurray. And we were there. I don't know if it was that particular Sunday that I had that conversion, but they were parishioners at that time, and I had a sense of connection with them. I felt like they were my Paul in a way. So understanding your Paul, which most of the time it's a person, I think helps us remember our conversion, remember our encounter. Would definitely. You say that's kind of true? Or
Yeah, definitely. And just to go off that too, what brings more clarity as we're talking about Paul, it's also a way that we encounter Christ even more.
Explain.
So with Paul, you have someone who's bringing you to Jesus, right? And an encounter of the Lord. And it's through their heart that you get to encounter Jesus's heart.
Okay, so the more you know your Paul, the more you know Jesus's heart, because... Yeah. They brought it to you.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
And I think a key important point of knowing your Paul is it really gives you an appreciation for the role of the missionary in evangelization, and really helps solidify for you, the missionary, like the importance of your role and how it's all interconnected, that evangelization doesn't happen kind of through osmosis or in a vacuum, but it actually takes a relationship, and that you are the, like, as that person built a relationship and brought you to Christ, you can go out and do it. And because you've already experienced it once, it's okay, here's my model to work off. I don't need a PhD in evangelization to do it. I just do what was done with me and continue forward.
Exactly. They become the model. They become the model of how you move forward, how you just move. Anyway, we'll talk more about this, but okay. Oh, we have a special guest. Well, actually, my wife, she's back.
I can walk through walls since the resurrection of Christ. Yes. I'm here now.
So she's back. Yeah. But we're just talking about Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas. And so
they're just good guys.
Yeah, they are. Why don't we talk a little bit about, because we're just talking about our Pauls, why don't we talk a little bit about Timothy? Who is Timothy to us? Kevin?
That's okay. Kevin. You've called me Kevin before.
Really? Is it a derivative of... Okay.
I don't think Trevor and Kevin have anything to do with each other.
No. There's a V in there. There's a V.
No. I think in my mind.
Do you know a Kevin that like looks like me?
No.
Okay.
No. That's, I just, for some
it's
reason.
It's a brain fart. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have many of those. Trevi?
Trevi? Trevi Fountain.
Anderson?
Okay. So, Trevor, tell us about Timothy or Bob. What, I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, Timothy. It's a person we are bringing to Christ. So Paul is someone that brings us closer to Christ. I would say Timothy is, in a way, someone we bring to Christ.
So we become a Paul, you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great relationship.
Yeah, so we have a Paul, but we actually become a Paul.
Exactly.
Okay, so Timothy is the person we're reaching out to.
Yes.
Garrett, did Ian and Michael talk about Timothy on their podcast?
I believe we talked about it very briefly. I can't remember if this is my head, but I think we talked about it very briefly, but we didn't really go into depth on Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy.
Yeah. So the Timothy is the student, like either bringing them to Christ or keeping them growing. Like it's the Timothy's going to look up to the Paul to like, how's this work? What am I supposed to do? Modeling, you know, the Paul is all those things to the Timothy at different stages.
So Trevor, tell us about one of your Timothys.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Tell us about Kevin.
Kevin, yeah. There's this one student at Concordia that I had the privilege of journeying with. And we met him in outreach at the survey tables at Concordia in the hall building. And a great fellow who filled out the survey and expressed that he was Catholic and that he was practicing his faith or wanting to practice. So we got in touch with him, and through that, like, he took a faith study. And in the faith study, that's when we got to develop more of a relationship. We bonded on a natural level, you could say. Like, he likes sports a lot, hockey, basketball, going to the gym, doing like workouts. So we bonded on a natural level, but that gave way to growing a relationship in faith. And we had the faith study that happened that semester, and then he continued the following semester. But essentially, throughout the whole journey, I could see his growth in holiness, you could say, because he didn't know the Lord personally, but it was through the faith study and like leading him to Christ that he actually made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
But when he made a decision to follow Christ, it's not that I didn't end the relationship there. I didn't end that Timothy mm-hmm. relationship right. there. Actually, that's more where it began.
Where it began, excellent.
And so I've had the privilege the past year and a half to journey with this man. And in fact, just as a side note, he actually wasn't baptized Catholic.
Hmm.
And we found out like later the following year, but by the grace of God. And he got baptized and confirmed into the church this past Easter Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Exciting.
Yeah.
So, how life-giving is it for you to have a Timothy?
Oh, it's super life-giving. Like, your faith is strengthened when it is shared. Like, that's I believe, from Redemptorius Missio.
Yeah, yeah.
A huge quote that stuck with me the whole year. And by sharing the faith with this one student and seeing him come to Christ actually inflamed my own heart to see, like, how much God has worked in his life and, like, changed him. But the neat thing, as I was at the Easter Vigil on Saturday, it's a ripple effect when one person comes to know Christ, because I got to meet his family, and his family is going on about how much he's changing, becoming more the man and the person that he's meant to be, how he's grown in confidence, that he has a fire and a spark in his life.
Okay.
So you can really see the fire of Christ, like, spread through many people just because of that one person coming to know
him. But I can see it in you as you're sharing it. You're kind of beaming. But I just want to kind of go talk a little bit more about, you know, why it's so important. And by the way, everyone can jump in on this one. Why it's so important to have a Timothy. And you're talking about how it's just a joy seeing this person grow and them having these encounters. But I would add to that also that because we have a Timothy and we're close to them, meaning they're not a Timothy that's far away from us. It should be somebody that we have a relationship with, we actually witness God work in their lives right before our eyes. And so our faith is strengthened because we're seeing God work. Yeah, we're seeing their life change, but not more importantly, but you know, the benefit is that we're actually seeing it happen. We're seeing that God is alive and that God is actively involved in these people's lives. We see it firsthand. And to me, that's the fruit of having a Timothy, because you're seeing God do what he does best, and that is to change lives.
Oh yeah.
So it's not a theory anymore. It's not just a biblical story. It becomes our story, you know, where we're seeing it right before our eyes.
And in my experience, is having Timothy or having someone that you're accompanying and growing and either bringing into the church or growing in their faith, is that it really, for me, it's really helped me to appreciate and understand the faith in a new way every time. Because there's always like, so what about this? Like, there's always this question. There's always questions. Like, there's always things they're trying to overcome. And as you bring them closer, they may have questions. And oftentimes it's in trying to answer those questions or help them accompany through it helps me to understand and realize that, like, wow, I actually thought I knew it, but I didn't know, or I knew, but now my whole perspective on this has changed. And it's allowed me to deepen my relationship with Christ and in knowledge of the teachings and doctrines of the church, and a greater appreciation for it.
Yeah, because you're forced to answer these questions, research it, meditate on
the perspectives also that they bring to the table as well.
Exactly.
You know, I only see things in one direction, and they're like looking at it from a different direction. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that's an experience all of our faith study leaders will have, is, you know, feeling like, oh, who am I to be leading a faith study? Like, I don't know anything. It's like, yep. Guess what? You're going to learn so much having to try to explain it to someone else. And you can read a good article or a good argument and be like, okay, cool. Now try to explain to someone else. That's a whole other level of input into your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when maybe you'll discover you have a gift of teaching and that you can take information, flip it back to someone, and it helps them understand it better than them just reading an article. So just watch for that.
Yeah. So having a Timothy is really, really important. Who, you know, just people out there, who would they be considering, you know, if they said, well, I would love to have a Timothy, but what am I looking for? Who are we actually looking for in a Timothy?
Good question.
Yeah, I'm pondering if that was a good question or not.
This is just coming to mind right away. People that you have a relationship with. This could be like a really good friend that doesn't know the Lord. This could be someone that you work with. This could be someone that you play sports with. It could be a family member, like a cousin. It can be anyone that you have a relationship with.
So it's really foundational. It's a relationship, because we learn in that Paul had a great love for Timothy in the scriptures. They were good friends. He loved you know, when you read Acts and even the other epistles, you see the delight that Paul had in Timothy and his family. So yeah, it is a relationship that is not just, he's not a project. He's a friend, somebody that we love and care for, and they love and care for us. Yeah. So we've talked about Paul and the importance of having, you know, that relationship, that person that has led us to a place of encounter, of conversion to Jesus, and how it's important that we maintain an awareness of these people and contact with these people. But also we talked about Timothy and how life-giving it is to have a Timothy, somebody that we are, you know, evangelizing or discipling. The third is, this third member of the team, the triad, is Barnabas. And so, Anshem, you're the biblical scholar.
Yes.
Who is Barnabas in the scriptures?
Well, I don't know actually where did he come from, but he's in Acts, the book of Acts. And,
good.
And his name
Bible.
Starts with the letter B, and he's not related to Kevin.
Okay.
But he... we know that he accompanied Paul on his travels and maybe others. And so the concept of the Barnabas is who Paul had with him in the mission. And so having a Barnabas who is your wingman, your sidekick, your right
your
hand.
Your equal.
Yeah. There's a maybe Paul would be considered greater than Barnabas if you had to measure it, but there is a peer relationship there where you're both a team. Working in the kingdom.
We call it in CCO co-labor. Somebody that's...
Oh, yeah. I'm not in part of CCO. How do you spell that?
Co. C-O and a dash.
Lay.
Labor.
Burr.
Yeah.
Okay, now I can spell it. Do you spell it with a U in the labor? Anyway, Barnabases are those brothers and sisters that aren't just brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I think there's an element of mission in there too. That we're implying when we talk about Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy, that the Barnabas is on mission with Paul. He's not just his buddy drinking beers, having a men's group. There's a little bit more to the relationship than that. They're going out together. They're being heroic together. They are doing mission. And, of course, they're loving the Lord and praying with one another. And those sorts of people in your life that you are co-laboring in the mission with is a particular bond. There is something very rich that happens when you're actually doing mission, and maybe even feeling a little vulnerable in that mission, but you have someone beside you. And we know that Christ's model was sending the disciples out two by two. He didn't just send them out separately. He didn't send the 72 out won it to 72 spots. What's 72 divided by 2? You know, he sent them out to that many spots, 36. So there's this brothers in arms sort of feel with a Barnabas.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yes, Kevin.
Kevin, you took out your Bible.
I took out my Bible. There's a quote that that I came across when I went on a mission trip with CCO back in the day. And there was four of us men on the mission. And someone shared this quote, and it spoke to me for the whole mission trip. Mm-hmm. That to have these brothers beside me in this mission. So I'll read it. It's Proverbs 27, verse 17. Maybe you've heard it before. It's a really good one. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another.
Isn't that powerful?
So powerful.
Yeah.
I remember you guys on that mission. You guys were so, such brothers, and there was so much fun and joy and focus with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Fun, food, and focus.
And faith.
I said joy. I said the word joy.
But it's a really good like Bible passage that spoke has spoken throughout my whole life since that mission trip when I when I first read it. I guess like I was on campus doing mission work with CCO, but the Barnabas relationship actually came up in my life in a different way this past year when I was living in Montreal. It actually occurred with my roommates. That's even though one of them was studying at McGill and another one was working in Montreal, but solid Catholic guys. And they were part of my mission because they were praying for me for campus. You know, I'd come back from my day and kind of share, you know, like the joys of what God was doing, but also the struggles. And in a way, they would edify me. They would pray over me. They would... you know, and encourage me in my kind of work. So it looked a little different than what I thought it would be in terms of a Barnabas relationship this past year. But I can definitely see that it did provide a lot of fruit because there was a strengthening. There was an iron sharpening iron.
So you're describing a Barnabas as somebody that is, and they have different dynamics, but somebody that is supporting you in what you're doing, and they're sharing in what you're doing. It's their mission also. It's kind of like, so they're praying over you, encouraging you to continue. They're challenging you. They're modeling to you. You know, as you're talking about and you're using that, went to the scripture in Proverbs, I was reminded that often what happens, if you study, how saints rise, they often had somebody that was a saint at the same time as them. They had a good friend. You know, we had St. Francis Assisi with St. Clair. We had, you know, the Jesuits. You know, they had their brothers in arms. There's, you know, other saints that grew up with another one. I think in Peru, St. Rose
and
St. Rose. They were each Barnabases to each other. They are actively involved in the mission, but they came together and, you know,
strengthened each other.
Why is that important? Why do you think that's important to have somebody that's kind of there, you know, almost doing the same thing you're doing? You know, they have the same convictions you have, and why is that important, do you think?
I think in a very simple human way, no man is an island. So if you try to do evangelization yourself, alone, in isolation, it's very easy to get knocked off your stride or to throw the towel in when things get hard. And things will get hard. And if you don't have someone there to say, no, like you keep going, you're doing, like, you know, I was there, I've, you know, we're in this together, I've got your back. If you don't have that there, particularly for those that are doing mission work in a community or in a situation where you may feel like you're the only person there, having someone along the way, like having someone there with you along the way, can go a long way to you actually seeing your mission through, to the point where you can actually start to see, okay, now it's starting to bear real fruit and yeah. not, well, you know, I tried outreach for the third time in my parish and it flopped again. You know what? I'm just going to give this whole thing up and move on and do underwater basket weaving or something. But if you have someone there to encourage you to journey with you, then you like, it's like, okay, you know, we'll just try again. We'll change our approach. We'll change our tactics. We'll, you know, we'll get after it in a different way, but we're sticking with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking back as you were talking, Gerhard, to, you know, when did I learn the most, or when was my, you know, when was I sharpened? And, you know, I've, you know, listened to a lot of talks, read a lot of books, you know, been to conferences, and they've been very helpful. But I was reminded that much of kind of the way I think and what has had some of the greatest impact on my life and how I live my life is observing somebody, a Barnabas, not a Barnabas talking to me and saying, you need to do this, but actually a Barnabas doing something or saying something to somebody else, or that I observed and I said, that's what I want to do. That's what who I want to be. They became a model for me. They became somebody that were living exceptional lives, and I was looking at my own life and saying, oh man, if only it could reflect more of what they're doing or how they're responding to this situation. So it was really more caught than taught in a way. So Barnabas is a person that you actually catch a lot from. Maybe not taught, because in a way you're kind of equals, but you're catching a lot from them.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're social beings. God created us to be social beings. We're not meant to be islands. And so even the Trinity is a communion of Father, Barnabas, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they are, their mutual love is our home, you know? So this love of friendship, of brothers and sisters is the way the Lord has created us. And so mm-hmm. that is how we are to live the Christian life. We are to live as the body of Christ. We're to be together.
Would you say that, okay, so we've kind of did some, we talked about this triad, the Paul, Timothy, and the Barnabas. How important do you think it is for us to actually, you know, sit down and kind of evaluate, okay, do we have the three people in our lives? Are we a Barnabas to anyone else? Are we a Paul? You know, how do you think it's healthy, good thing to kind of our listeners to spend some time thinking through this? Why should they, if we were to encourage them to, you know, to ask himself, to self evaluate where they are?
Yeah, I'm just, as we're talking about this, that quote comes to mind again. Your faith is strengthened when it is shared. So the thought of, okay, like who am I reaching out to? Who can I reach out to increase our own faith as well? Just to have that relationship with the Lord continually growing. As we grow closer to the Lord, he'll want us to share with others. So I think it'd be good to, yeah, like take a step back, reflect, like who can I reach out to?
Yeah.
Like who can I reach out to in my little sphere, in my community? Who is that person that exactly. I think would come to know Christ?
But you said something, you know, as you kind of introduced this thought of yours, you said that our relationship with Jesus Christ would actually grow. In a way, what we're talking about is the growth in the spiritual life. If we want to grow in the spiritual life in a balanced way, a good template is actually to find the three people. Because from what you're saying is that the Timothy helps you, it strengthens your faith. Well, the Paul reminds us of our conversion. Paul, as we read Acts, we see Paul's often referring back to his conversion. So having a Paul that's with us, and it reminds us of our conversion, and he's always calling us on to greater and greater conversion. And Barnabas is that great role model for us. He's the iron that sharpens iron. And so all three of those relationships actually provide, you know, a way forward in the spiritual life.
Thanks for joining us today for our conversation on Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please give us a rate and review on iTunes, as this will help us to reach new audiences. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.